This is All Things Considered on KNKX. I'm Ed Ronco. If a police officer behaves badly enough, they can lose their certification to work in law enforcement ever again. That prevents problematic officers from bouncing from department to department. Mike Riker is an investigative reporter with the Seattle Times. He reviewed 4 years of data and found police are very rarely decertified in Washington state. In fact, no officer in the state has ever lost their certification for using excessive force. Mike Riker joins me now to talk about his reporting. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What made you start digging into the issue of decertification?
Well, I had some experience in Los Angeles previously reporting on police discipline. And so I wanted to know how officers were disciplined in Washington state. And I wanted to know how hard was it to revoke somebody's certification or to take away their badge and gun? And, you know, how often did that happen here? What are some of the obstacles?
So what does it take for an officer to be decertified in Washington state?
An officer can be decertified for any felony conviction, for lying to the State Criminal Justice Training Commission, which oversees certifications, and for misconduct. They have to be fired for one of 4 categories of misconduct. One is any crime involving dishonesty or false statements, so perjury. Another is drug crimes, any crime that would disqualify you from possessing a firearm. That's typically domestic abuse. And then there's a catch-all category called any crime committed under the color of authority. And an example of that would be a traffic cop pulling over somebody and demanding sex to get out of a ticket. Theoretically, excessive force would fit into that last category, but it is almost never pursued. In fact, in Washington, no officer has been decertified for excessive force.
How do we compare, Mike, with other states that have decertification processes?
Washington is not the most restrictive in the nation, and it's not the loosest. Here, you don't have to be convicted, but in some other states you do, which is actually a harder bar to meet for decertification. Here, one of the biggest issues is that you have to be fired for some of the misconduct.
So there are states where as soon as your superiors start looking into misconduct, they can also consider decertification. But here you have to wait until there's been a termination?
That's correct. And that's a big obstacle that we found. Sometimes officers appeal those terminations and they take years. And during that time, they're still certified. And we even found examples where that discipline's overturned. So they were referred for decertification, but because the officers are reinstated, the state cannot take action.
This happens at the state level. Can an officer who's been decertified in Vancouver, Washington, drive across the river and get a job in Portland, Oregon?
So there's this national index that keeps track of decertified officers, but there are a lot of holes in it. Not all states report to it. It's not required of states. Washington does report, but there's no law here that's mandating it.
So kind of a patchwork.
That's right.
Walk us through the data you looked at. How many officers might have been decertified in recent years versus how many actually were?
There are about 11,000 officers across the state, and each year about 100 officers are fired from their agencies, and within that, about 40 are referred for decertification. So that means their police chief or their sheriff flagged their firing, their separation, and said, hey, state, I want you to review this officer and what they did, because I believe it qualifies to be decertified. So out of that 40 on average, just 10 a year are actually decertified.
Your story is full of examples of officers who people might be surprised to hear kept their certification despite behavior that got them disciplined or even fired. Give us one of those examples.
There's this officer, Nick Hogan, who was at Tukwila for a number of years and then later in Snoqualmie. Hogan had a series of excessive force incidents. He was accused of using a racial slur in one instance, and pepper spraying a man who was pinned down to a hospital gurney with all four limbs. And that incident actually resulted in a federal indictment, which is really rare. You know, officers are almost never prosecuted for excessive force. He also slammed a man in Tukwila using this unsanctioned takedown and was disciplined for that. He was fired from both of those departments. And after all that, after the guilty plea, the state still let him keep his certification. Now, Officer Hogan, in his plea agreement, agreed not to be an officer for 15 years. So that's an unusual circumstance, but he's technically still in good standing with the state, and after those years could come back.
So you looked at 4 years of data that will tell us how things have been, but we're at this moment now when protesters are putting immense pressure on politicians to increase accountability around police. What are the efforts to look at the decertification process? Are people focusing on this?
Yes, there's actually some movement afoot in the state. There's a retired judge named Ann Levinson. She's a former municipal court judge in Seattle. And also she's a former oversight official for the Seattle Police Department. And she's been working on this since about 2014. And she's proposed a number of reforms. And those have made it to State Senator Jamie Peterson, who is going to be circulating a draft bill, among stakeholders. And also State Attorney General Bob Ferguson, who has been advocating for some reform. All of this on specifically decertification. You know, it's one component of a number of reforms that, like you said, are trying to hold officers to a higher degree of accountability.
We've been talking about this very specific procedural thing that happens with the police officer's employment. Why is it important for the general public to be paying attention to this?
It's important because police officers have the ability to take our life and liberty. They are given that authority by the government, and we as citizens have to hold them to the highest degree of accountability. And you're right, this sounds very wonky sometimes and very technical about what qualifies, what doesn't qualify. But at the end of the day, if somebody has really violated the public trust multiple times, and the average person can see on their face they're not suited to be a police officer, there should be a mechanism to take their badge and gun away, and it should be effective. It shouldn't have so many barriers and obstacles like we found.
Mike, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ed. It was great to talk with you.